Hello everyone, this is the TED talk that I gave in April in Prayagraj in Uttar Pradesh, and so this is a podcast of that TED talk. And the title of my podcast is Altruistic Mindset Can Help in Producing Solutions for Global Population. My name is Anil Rajvanshi, and I run a small rural NGO called Nimkar Agriculture Research Institute. This is situated in a taluka place called Fultan, which is in district Satara, and is situated around 100 kilometers southeast of Pune. Now, the title of my talk is a little philosophical, so I thought that the best way to show how altruistic mindset helps in developing technologies for the poor is by giving my personal example. I was born and raised in Lucknow in the early 1950s. My father, Shri Jagdish Prasad Rajvanshi, was a Swatantrata Senani or a freedom fighter and went to jail with Gandhiji for the 1942 movement. After 2.5 years, he was released from Lucknow jail in 1946. He liked Lucknow very much and decided to make it his home. So I was born in Lucknow in 1950, and I went to St. Francis School for my senior Cambridge, and then went to IIT Kanpur in 1967 for my studies in mechanical engineering. From IIT Kanpur, I went to United States, as most of the students did in those times, where I got my PhD in mechanical engineering in 1979 under a very famous solar energy professor called Eric Farber, and then taught at the same university for 2.5 years. And then in a fit of madness and arrogance, I left a very lucrative career in US and returned to rural Maharashtra to work for rural development. I feel my father's idealism and his national fervor inspired me, and together with my exposure to Indian philosophy and spirituality at a very young age, made me come back to India and take the plunge to work on developing technologies for rural poor. Spirituality also helped me practice intense meditation and resulted in development of a very powerful concentration. When I came back from United States in 1981 to rural Maharashtra, to this place called Fultan, it was a tough decision. Fultan was just an overgrown village with hardly anything available. For every small thing to purchase, we had to go to Pune, a 4-hour journey by road. So even to make a long distance trunk call, as they were called, quite a number of times I would just hop on the bus and take the arduous 4-hour journey to Pune to make those calls. However, there was a junoon or a passion to do something interesting. And when you have a junoon and the passion, then the pinpricks do not bother you. I have written about this part of journey in some details in my book called Romance of Innovation, and would like to talk about few of the interesting inventions and technologies that we developed during those times. Romance of Innovation is available on the internet. I have made it freely available so that the students can be inspired. And I would urge most of you to look in the Google this word Romance of Innovation, and please read this book. So the technologies and inventions that we developed: we worked on electric mobility, cooking and lighting solutions for rural households, rural restaurants, solar powered cleaning system, and all these technologies and inventions came from the altruistic mindset and the desire for helping rural poor. For example, in the electric rickshaw, I was born in Lucknow, and that was used to be the only mode of transport during my early growing years. And I was always moved by the plight of rickshaw pullers. They, you know, it was a very, not a very happy state of affairs, where one person would pull the burden of another human being on his shoulders over the slopes and other things in very hot environment. So in 1990s, I got very interested in trying to improve this rickshaw. And so I interviewed hundreds of them to understand their plight and discuss with them about solutions. Based upon their feedback, we produced India's first electric rickshaw in 2000. And I am very happy to say that lakhs of such rickshaws are plying on the Indian roads, and we take great pride that they came from our work in Phaltan. Then I was also moved by the plight of residents of unelectrified hut dwellers near our institute in Phaltan. Basically, they were landless laborers who did not have any basic things in their huts. And they used to cook on very inefficient biomass stoves, which would pollute the hut environment. And they used to read or do their things in a very feeble light of a kerosene lantern. So when we discussed with them, they wanted a clean and excellent cooking and lighting device. And this resulted in the land stove. Land stove was a combination of lantern cum stove, which produced brilliant light. And in the heat of that light, we could cook a complete meal for a family of five, so that both the cooking and lighting could be done at the same time. For this invention, we received one of the highest awards in Stockholm by Princess Victoria. And to give you an idea on the quality of this award, one of the other awardees was Tesla Motors. This was given in 2009. While we were working with these hutments, or the dwellers of these unelectrified huts, we also found that they had a very tremendous health problems because of poor nutrition. And so this resulted in the concept of rural restaurants, where we felt that after working very hard in the hot summer or hot sun in the fields, the woman is not in a position to cook, and they cook very poorly from the meager rations they have, and so their health deteriorates. So if we can have very cheap food available in restaurants, then they can get wholesome food and their health will improve, and the woman will not have to work or cook for the whole family after such a hard work. And this, we are very happy to say that the concept of rural restaurant that we put in 2012 led to Amma's Kitchen in Tamil Nadu and Shiv Bhojan in Maharashtra. And now close to 10 million meals are served every day based upon this concept. Then we also worked on water purification, where we are trying to set up now a solar water purification with rainwater harvesting for school children, because we believe that the rural schools have very poor quality of water, and most of these children suffer from diarrhea and other stomach ailments because of this poor drinking water. And we feel that by the solar powered device that we have developed, the children can get very clean water. And naturally, this will be in combination with the rainwater harvesting. Besides providing the excellent and clean water, this will also help children learn about solar energy and about water purification. So we have put all this work in public domain, so that all our writings, books, ideas are available freely on the net. Now, during the creative solution phase, the only thought was to find the best technological solutions. The greed somehow creeps in during the marketing and manufacturing phase. So I feel that the enlightened corporate captains can reduce the profit margins for marketing and manufacturing of goods and technologies for the poor. The present system of using corporate social responsibility funds is a step in the right direction, but much more needs to be done since it is forced solution by the Government of India rather than from any altruistic mindset of the corporates. So what corporates can do? According to the latest data, there are close to 370 million people in India, or almost 30% of India's population, who are poor. Poverty is described as living with less than $2 per day or 150 rupees per day. For a family of two earning members, it comes to around 300 rupees per day or around 8,000 rupees per month. This is a very small amount of money to just barely eke out in existence. And during the COVID pandemic, the number of people living below the poverty line has also increased drastically. Yet at the same time, 1% of India's super rich have 60% of total national wealth. This number has also increased during the pandemic, and thus we have a very strange situation in the country of ever increasing chasm between rich and poor. This trend is also visible in almost all the countries of the world, and with internet and social media availability, this is creating tremendous societal tensions between the rich and the poor. We all want the poor to improve their lives. This can happen when either the money is available to them or goods and services are available to them at affordable prices. Affordable price is very much possible if the corporates reduce their greed. I therefore feel there is a need for national resolve that we will not milk the poor. Profits can be made, but at a much lower level, for providing services and goods to the poor. For this to happen, we need to develop an altruistic mindset in all sections of the society, especially in the captains of the Indian industry. Such mindset can then help in reducing greed and help to produce affordable technologies and solutions for the majority of the population. You, as young students, are the future of this great country, and some of you in future may occupy high positions in the corporate world. So this talk is very much directed to you. So how do we develop altruistic mindset? We are defined by our thinking, and so need to develop a very powerful brain. A powerful brain can bring about the problems, can think about the problems deeply, and can analyze and produce solutions. The history of mankind is a history of great inventions produced by a very fertile and powerful brain. A powerful brain is produced by focusing on a single thought for a long time. This is the essence of yoga and is also called concentration. Concentration can be learned, and with practice increases in intensity and duration. This process should start at a very young age, when the brain is supple, pliable, and this process should continue throughout life. Love for reading books at a young age helps in this process quite a lot. A powerful and deep thinking brain also becomes spiritual. A deep thought on any object or subject, focused for a long time, ends up in removing its gross form from the vision field, so that only its essence remains, and that is spirituality, and is also called samadhi in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. Such a brain also becomes empathetic and sensitive. This is the genesis of wisdom and non-violence. Sensitivity is an outcome of realization that all life forms on this planet Earth are interconnected. Since they all are governed by the same physical principles, some we understand and others not. Thus, empathy, sensitivity, and wisdom are related. With wisdom and sensitivity comes reduction in greed and development of altruistic tendencies. Such a powerful and sensitive mind can then produce technological solutions which can help mankind. Technology is a double-edged sword. It brings great advantage to mankind. At the same time, it fuels greed and can be used for destruction. This is because of our desire to have control over events and people, and technology provides us the power and means to do it. Altruistic mindset helps in getting us out of the control syndrome. This allows us to let go of our possessions and frees the mind for creative work. Thus, other thoughts about selfish personal gain or hurting others are reduced substantially, allowing us to work for betterment of mankind without too much of profit motive. However, if a mind with less processing power or less wisdom again reverts to its basic state after the invention is developed, and all the insecurities like personal gain, control, etc. starts manifesting again. Many examples of good and useful inventions by small-minded people abound in history, such as Shockley, who developed transistor but was also a very mean person. He destroyed large number of lives. In fact, he was the creator of the Silicon Valley, but because of his small-mindedness, he created a lot of problems for people who became very well known later on. Another example is of Fritz Haber, a German who got the Nobel Prize for producing ammonia from air. He also developed chlorine gas, which was used for killing hundreds and thousands of soldiers in World War I. In fact, Fritz Haber himself was involved in making sure that such chlorine gas is used by German army. Similar was the case with Henry Ford, who not only developed the Industrial Revolution for producing cars, but also created tremendous amount of labor unrest. In fact, in the in his underground unit, he had a department of dirty works, which whose whole purpose was to kill people, all those people who were troublemakers, like union leaders, rape their wives, and so on and so forth. And in the modern times, is Steve Jobs, who created a great thing called iPhone, but he was extremely greedy, and it was very difficult to work with him, and he created a lot of problems for a lot of people. So such examples exist in large numbers in Silicon Valley and other high-pressure startups and technological hubs all around the world. So what each one of us can do to get away from this not a very happy state of affairs and the examples that I gave you? So one of the things that we can do is, when the greed is minimized, the quality of thought produced is very high. And examples of Einstein, Newton, Buddha, Christ change the course of mankind's history. All of us cannot become Einstein, Newton, Buddha, etc. But in a small way, we can produce solutions for small problems surrounding us without thinking too much about the profit motives. All our individual efforts can then collectively produce bigger benefits. This is what Gandhiji taught us by showing us the power of numbers. This process is further helped by sharing ideas. Quantity begets quality. The more ideas you get and share, the higher is their quality. If you give rupees 10 to somebody and get in return rupees 10, each one of you will have only 10 rupees. But if you give one idea to somebody and get another idea from him or her, we have two ideas each. That is how knowledge adds up. Thus, we should share our ideas freely, and TED Talks are an excellent forum for sharing them. I feel our technological revolution will increase manifold when we develop altruistic mindset. I therefore feel a sufficient and necessary condition for a highly advanced technological civilization is a high level of wisdom developed with the help of spirituality. Wisdom will also lead to the development of technology in a sustainable way. This is because with wisdom, we will take into consideration all the natural forces so that we always remain in equilibrium with the environment in our technological development. This is how nature evolves. Hence, such an evolution will be environmentally friendly, sustainable, and backed by efficient technologies. Such technological developments through altruistic mindset can lead to a new mantra for India's development, which could be spirituality plus technology is equal to happiness and sustainability. Thank you very much for listening to me.